But we're going to look into the light and regarding the angels that we had talked about, why, you know, angels are not body of Christ, I was going to say supplementers, but what's the word I'm looking for? Helpers? They're sent to minister to those who are to receive their salvation. This is a brief review, a couple sentences review, and then we're getting into when the angels resume their functioning for Israel. And angels are for Israel. They're Israel's helpers. We have the Holy Spirit as our seal, and He supplies more than what the angels can supply for Israel. But having read and viewed those scriptures yesterday about the gap in Israel's history, and well, it's during this, I should say, this current dispensation of the grace of God is during Israel's gap in their history. You have to remember that there are different events in the Bible. Israel's events are not the body of Christ's events. When Israel rises, that has nothing to do with the body of Christ. The body of Christ hadn't been started by the time Israel, you know, Genesis 12 or Exodus 4:22, when Israel started. But they fell in Acts 7. That had nothing to do with the body of Christ. The body of Christ hadn't started by Acts 7 when Israel fell, committing their unforgivable sin. And when the body of Christ did start in Acts 9, that had nothing to do with Israel. They're separate events. When Israel fell, well, let me, we covered that. Let me say when Paul was sent in the Acts period to the churches, well, to the area around the Mediterranean, around Turkey and Acacia, and Macedonia. That was sometimes it's called his first sending. I think of it as his second one, being separated to the gospel of God is his first. But that sending there, where he was preaching the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ in each place, that has nothing to do with Israel. I mean, he was calling people from Israel into the body of Christ, but it's not an Israel event when he goes there. It's a body of Christ event. Just like when Paul was sent in Acts 20 to all people in the dispensation of the grace of God that started then, that didn't have anything to do with Israel. That was a body of Christ event. And at the end of Acts, when Israel is cast away, that doesn't have anything to do with the body of Christ. It's an Israel event. They're separate events. And like I put in text during the first lesson there, it's like if you had two combs, and you can't see my hands, but or you take your hands and spread your fingers and go, you know, make your, like you're folding your fingers, folding your hands together. That's the way it is with, you know, there's a body of Christ event, then there's an Israel event, a body of, they're not back and forth all the way through, but they are different events, just like, you know, all the events on your left hand would be one, and all the fingers on your right hand would be like the body of Christ versus Israel, you know, and you put them together, and there you've got the book of Acts, you know, one after the other, one from the left hand, one from the right hand, one from the left hand, right. How do you figure, you know? You have to know to rightly divide them. You have to know, you have to be looking for the difference to see it. Otherwise, you try and make them all be the same thing, and you end up with a confused mess. So, we looked at that gap in Israel's history, and I see the word gap, and I think of, let me just take this diversion for a second here, a thread in one of the groups over in Facebook. They're spending a lot of time talking about whether or not there was a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Well, you know, if the Bible says there was, you know, we should preach it. If the Bible says there wasn't, we should preach that there wasn't. If it doesn't say, it falls in the category of fables, you know. and foolish questions and stuff like that. You know, when they ask about that kind of a gap, I try to just turn them back to the scriptures, what the scripture does teach, instead of majoring in what the scriptures doesn't teach. This gap, there is a legitimate gap in Israel's history. We know that the Lord will bring back Israel, but right now they're lo am I, ever since Acts 28 that we read yesterday, the end of the last half chapter of Acts 28, actually from verse 24 or 25 through 29, if you want to just read the verses. But I don't have anybody to post verses today. If somebody could pick up on that, either get the verse list from the website or as I read them, post them, that would help. But the body of Christ, and including this dispensation that we're in, the dispensation of the grace of God, is in that gap in Israel's history. Now, that's just the opposite of what some people over in that other thread are teaching, that the body of Christ is inserted into Israel. And so we get Israel's promises. No, that's not anywhere in the Bible. We're told to rightly divide them, not implant them into each other. They're to stay separate. Israel will be on the land, and we will be in the heavens, and we'll each be doing our duties. But Israel's gap in their history will end when Christ returns to the air to catch up the body of Christ. And that kind of brings us back to what the subject is for today. So that's when the body is caught up, body of Christ is caught up to be with the Lord, that's when Michael, the archangel, needs to start functioning for Israel again on earth during that dark period where there are just seven candlesticks of light, seven prophetic churches, Israel churches, shining in the darkness of that 70th week of Daniel, actually. Jacob's trouble that starts when the body of Christ is caught up to be with the Lord. Welcome to the room. We're studying the light and when the angels start functioning for Israel again. So that's why when the Lord returns from heaven, he brings Michael the archangel with him. Christ comes to the air to catch us up. There's nothing written about Michael the archangel going back to heaven again with Christ and his body. Angels will begin again to function for Israel when Israel is again a peculiar treasure unto God above all people. Right now they're not God's people, and God said, I will not be your God, Hosea 1:9. Then there's the gap, and then there's Hosea 1:10, after we get caught up to be with the Lord. Israel's history, their time clock, and their promise fulfillment, they all resume then when we get caught up to be with the Lord and Michael the archangel stays here on earth, having come down with the Lord. Although Michael comes down to earth to minister to Israel, there's nothing written about him or the other angels being expelled from heaven. That's still their territory too. So when you get to Revelation 12, verse 7, there is war in heaven. Michael and his angels are in the fight then in heaven too. They're there in that battle. And we'll review what happens when the Lord comes down to the air. Not to the earth yet. That's at a later time. But he comes to the air to catch up the body of Christ into the air. So, well, let's look now. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 16. And we'll look at both major accounts. There are many, many places throughout Paul's writings that he talks about this, some aspect of it, but not in great detail. But these two sections we'll look at are in great detail. Of course, Paul is the only one that talks about the catching up of the body of Christ. The other references to the Lord coming have nothing to do with the body of Christ. There are Israel events. It's a different coming of the Lord. He comes all the way to the earth, splits the Mount of Olives in half when he comes for Israel. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, starting with 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Trump being the sound that a trumpet makes. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Just a reminder, that term dead in Christ is only used about people in the body of Christ, not about believers in Israel's gospel of the kingdom, who will be raised in the last time, not at this time. And that's according to Zechariah 14, verse 5. But back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17 now. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So the dead rise first as the Lord is coming down from heaven. The Lord meets them in the air, and they descend further while we come up to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In Paul's 1 Corinthians account of the catching up, chapter 15, this is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, we see that it says, starting in 51, behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, I'm going to let you see a secret here. It's not been told before. I'm revealing it to you. I'm showing you this mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So whether you have died before this event and you're resurrected, you'll be changed. Or whether you're still alive at the event when the Lord comes to the air, you shall be changed too. That's different from the prophecies that God told to Israel. To Israel. Jesus had told his earthly followers that in order for them to follow him, they had to take up their cross. The cross was that day's form of execution. Those Israelites who heard that statement of Jesus, they had to die to enter the kingdom of heaven on earth. Look at Mark 8:35. Mark 8:35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And then we'll look at Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So they had to go through death. Many of them will have to get Israel's, Israel was promised these things, but they have to go through death to get into the promised kingdom out of heaven. That was how they were to be born again. It was by dying and being born again into their coming kingdom of heaven on earth, coming from heaven onto earth. But that's not what the scripture says about us, the body of Christ. We do not, some of us do not die at all to enter into the kingdom. We don't have anything to do with the earthly kingdom. We don't have to die. We don't have to stay alive. It's a different realm. It's Israel's promise. It's Israel's covenant. We weren't promised a kingdom out of heaven on earth. In the body of Christ, some won't go through death and some will, but we all shall be changed. We're going up. We're not staying here on earth. We were promised heaven. Israel, you study Israel, they were never promised heaven. That's a surprise to many people. They think of Israel as, going to heaven. The heaven, you can't see the golden gates or whatever, the golden streets, so it must be up somewhere up, way up high. But those are prophecies of what it will be. Israel's kingdom will be coming down out of heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven, on earth. And that's what it says in Deuteronomy. We don't have to go there, but Deuteronomy 11:21 talks about it as the days of heaven upon the earth. It's on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Paul's 1 Thessalonians 4 catching up writing, he goes on with a final verse that it reinforces what he said as being different from the return of Christ to Israel to reign on earth. Regarding the body of Christ, Paul says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." If he was talking about Christ coming back to earth and us having to go into the tribulation, he would say he would be warning them, warning people to beware, you know, the tribulation is coming. But he says, comfort one another with these words. We're going up before that. So, in other words, Israel is the renaming of Jacob. And it's called in Scripture, in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it's called Jacob's trouble, not our trouble. It won't be the trouble of the body of Christ. Earlier we read in Daniel 12, verse 1, that for Daniel's people, Israel, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. However, Paul speaks differently for us. Comfort one another with these words. It's comforting. It's not a time of trouble that we're being warned about. You know, Paul would have been deficient in his guiding us as the apostle of the Gentiles if he didn't tell us to be ready for the tribulation, if we had to go through the tribulation. We don't, though. He says, you're not appointed to wrath, you're delivered from wrath. Romans 5:9, another reference to being saved from the wrath. So, but this is further confirmation that the last day of the body of Christ on earth precedes the first day of the resumption of Israel's prophecy fulfillment. There's no prophecy going on now. You know, I mean, Israel's over there, a group of people called Israel by the United Nations, but they weren't put there by God. They're not holy, not a holy nation that God promised. You know, they legislate abortion is okay. They legislate prostitution is okay. I wouldn't call them a holy nation that God had put there. That is all yet to come. Prophecy fulfillment has not yet begun for Israel. Rebegun. Resumed, put it that way. And the angels functioning for Israel, that hasn't begun yet either. Michael the archangel stands up for Daniel's people, Israel, resuming prophetic fulfillment. And it'll be at or shortly after the time when Christ catches up the body of Christ in the air. In those verses we just read. In that tribulation, there will be some Israelites that are protected by God in the wilderness. God has been alternating through history. He's worked with Israel. Then when they rejected their Messiah and blasphemed the Holy Ghost, God saved Saul of Tarsus and started the body of Christ. The body of Christ started with Paul's salvation and his sealing, being sealed with the Holy Ghost at the same time. And it exists now, the body of Christ, and it's going on. And it will continue to go on until the fullness of the Gentiles become into it. Then the Lord catches up the body of Christ to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll ever be with the Lord. We won't be separated from him again. At that point, Christ leaves Michael, the archangel, who came down with him into the air, and the angels again begin functioning for Israel as ministering spirits. So Israel's prophetic fulfillment resumes where it left off at the beginning of that 70th week of Daniel, when Peter said, this is that. Acts 2:16, remember? Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Joel said, these are the last days. That was Israel's last days, when the times of refreshing was due to come to Israel after Jacob's troubles. But as we had studied, They fell in Acts 7 by blaspheming the Holy Ghost and committing that unforgivable sin for Israel. And Saul was right there. He was one of the accomplices. I mean, he had access to it, to the situation. He said, "You guys shouldn't be doing this." But he didn't say that. He said, I'll hold your coat while you do it. Go on over there and take care of it. Let's kill that man, Stephen, for speaking to us. He's filled with the Holy Ghost when he was speaking, and he spoke to them words of the Holy Ghost, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost by stoning him. So Israel must go through the events of Jacob's trouble for their apostasy down through the centuries. They have some trouble to go through. It says, "I will not leave Israel or Jacob, I forget which it is, unpunished." That's in Jeremiah 30, verse 11. They catch some of it in the tribulation. But having resumed Israel's prophecy, several events proceed on schedule after it begins again. Late in Revelation, at the end of Jacob's trouble or tribulation, Christ returns to earth in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 19. We don't have to go there. But then after a thousand-year reign that's mentioned like six times in Revelation 20, in the first six verses of it, the earth will be burned up, sometimes called renovation of the earth. But it's prophesied in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 13. We don't have to go there either. You can mark it down and look for yourself if you want. But it talks about the burning of the elements in fervent heat. I don't want to be in that. But then the holy city, New Jerusalem, descends out of heaven, kingdom of heaven, from God in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 10. Then we again find the light in Revelation 21, verses 22 through 26, and in Revelation 22, we'll read Revelation 21, starting with verse 22, but the beginning of 22 also, we see the light. But let's read Revelation 21, starting in verse 22 through 26. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Remember, this is John, who pledged to write to the circumcision, to Israel. And he's writing about Israel's future on the earth. Revelation 21, verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved," those saved ones are the people who endured through the tribulation, through the millennium, the post-millennium uprising there, when Satan is released from the bottom, he's released for a short time, causes an uprising. These saved ones endured through that, and the descending of the new heaven and the new earth. However, prior to all of that, before all of that, the church, which is his body, the body of Christ, will have been caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We are saved upon belief, not waiting to be saved like Israel. That's a major difference. There's no way you can consider them the same group under the same doctrine. You can see from the words used there that them which are saved is present tense in Revelation 21:24. It's not referring to those of us who have been saved to heaven before Israel's prophecy fulfillment resumed with that darkness of Jacob's trouble. But that's all future as we talk here today. Let's go on through Revelation 21, verse 24 we'll start with. Revelation 21, 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." And remember, that's on earth. We're in heaven at this time, the times these things happen. But "the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it. Their glory and honor into it, excuse me. And that would be, part of that is the forces of the Gentiles. It's talking about their money. Their, you know, they give it up to the Lord. You read the, I saw some article about the Bilderbergers and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and how they have how many hundreds of trillions of dollars in their accounts and stuff like that. That's all going to the Lord. They don't think so, but you know, it's in the other hands right now, but it'll go from weak hands to strong hands. So let me see where we were. Verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Not shut at all. No night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 1, starting with 1, going through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. The tree of life on either side of the river. How about that? Which bare 12 manner of fruit, 12 again being associated with Israel, and yielded her fruit every month, 12 months associated with Israel. Revelation still talking about Israel here. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve with him. Excuse me, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. Okay, no absence of light, in other words, no night. And they need no candle. So that need for the candlesticks is over by the time you get to the end of Revelation, in Revelation 22. There shall be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. We'll have a different perception then. And they shall reign forever and ever. So upon entering limitless eternity, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Okay, I'm done with the lesson for today. Any questions, comments, additions, things that are in the scripture that I might have missed or whatever, or if I misspoke, please bring it up. We want to have everything according to the scripture.